You're listening to the Jesus for Everyone podcast, a podcast where we talk about the intersection of faith and social justice and what a first century Jewish prophet of the poor from Galilee offers us today in our work of love, compassion, and justice. To support this podcast, go to renewedheartministries.com and click donate. Welcome to episode 513. My name is Herb Montgomery, and our title this week is The Good News is About Life and Love, Not Death and Dying. So once again, we're in the middle of a transition with this podcast. We have the great news of being able to share that our name is going to be updated, or the name of this podcast is changing to the Social Jesus Podcast. And we are, over the next few weeks, going to be joining the Choircast network over at Simplecast. So you just be looking for that transition. And for those of you who are already subscribed to this podcast, you shouldn't have to do anything. You shouldn't notice any differences in whatever platform that you're using to listen to this podcast. But if you're new to this podcast, check us out over there, Choircast, and like, subscribe, leave us a comment. Our readings this week are from the Gospel of John and Mark, and it'll start with the Gospel of John first. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. John 20:1-18. And now our reading from Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Mark 16:1-18. So with these passages, the lectionary calls our attention to the earliest telling of the resurrection story in the Gospels and the last telling of the resurrection story in the Gospels. What jumps out to me first is the evolution of women's role in the stories. In Mark, it's only women who go to the tomb. There's no men who show up, and the women choose to be silent. But in John's gospel, not only are women the first to announce the resurrection, but also in uncharacteristic fashion, the gospel names a specific woman, Mary Magdalene, as the first among them to proclaim the good news of the resurrection. And many scholars, they date the writing of the book of Mark at the same time as the pseudo-epistles of Paul. And while the author of Timothy was telling women to be silent, you can find this in 1 Timothy 2:12, Mark's gospel is showing us what would have happened in relation to the resurrection if they had been. And as patriarchal forces in the early church were gaining power and influence, and women were beginning to be marginalized in the Jesus movement, you can find this in 1 Corinthians 14:34. Mark's gospel warns us, I believe, of such non-egalitarian trends. The implication is this, just basically that, thank God, women were not silent. Because if they had been, we might never have heard the good news of the resurrection. And this leads me to what I believe the original good news of the gospel for the early Jesus movement was. The good news of the gospel, it wasn't that Jesus was crucified, or that Jesus had died, or had even died for anyone, but that Jesus was alive. The cross had been reversed, it had been overcome, it had been undone. And the news about that couldn't be contained. So consider these passages that I believe emphasize the preaching of the church, at least in the book of Acts. Notice they aren't merely preaching that Jesus was crucified. They're announcing that Jesus had been resurrected. This is the first one. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Acts 4:33. The next one. You crucified and killed by the hands of those outside of the law, but God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Acts 2:22-24. And again, this Jesus, God raised up. And of that, all of us are witnesses. Acts 2:32-33. You handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he decided to release him. But you rejected the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer given to you. And you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. Acts 3:12-16. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Acts 4:10-11. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. Acts 5:30-32. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day. Acts 10:36-43. And even though they found no cause for a sentence of death, they asked Pilate to have him killed. When they had carried out everything that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And we bring you the good news that what God promised our ancestors, he fulfilled for us, their children, by raising Jesus. Acts 13:35-38. The good news for those in the book of Acts was not that Jesus had died, but that Jesus, whom the state had executed, had been brought back to life. whatever we make of these reports today, the lessons in these stories, the emphasis here is not about Jesus dying, but in the undoing of his death. The story is one about the ability of truth to overcome falsehood, of life to triumph over the death-dealing agents of our world, for love to be able to conquer hate, for injustice to be triumphed over by justice. Justice doesn't have to have the last word in our stories. And the good news, to use the words of Reverend Dr. Kelly Brown Douglas, was that the crucifying powers of evil, that they have been defeated. This is from Douglas, her writings. She writes, "The resurrection is God's definitive victory over crucifying powers of evil. The impressive factor is how it," speaking about the cross, "is defeated. It is defeated by a life-giving rather than life-negating force. God's power, unlike human power, is not a master race kind of power. That is, it's not a power that diminishes the life of another so that others might live. God's power respects the integrity of all human bodies and the sanctity of all life. This is a resurrecting power. Therefore, God's power never expresses itself through the humiliation or denigration of another. It does not triumph over life. It conquers death by resurrecting life. The force of God is a death-negating, life-affirming force." And that's from Douglas's book, Stand Your Ground, Black Bodies and the Justice of God, page 182 through 183. And a few pages later, Douglas writes again, "What the resurrection points to, however, is not the meaning of Jesus' death, but of his life. The powers of the status quo, remember, they had attempted to silence Jesus' life-giving, saving, redemptive work. And yet what the story tells us through this narrative element of the resurrection, this attempt to end Jesus' salvific work, it's turned into a mere interruption. And whereas the cross was the state's attempt to stop Jesus' salvific work, the resurrection causes that work to continue despite the cross, and especially continue in the lives of Jesus' followers as we seek to be conduits of life ourselves, conduits of healing and liberation within our own context today. Christianity, I will continue to argue, isn't a death cult. I agree with the womanist matriarch, Dr. Dolores Williams, who's been relentless through the years in pulling back the curtain and showing us the intrinsic harm of faith traditions that find meaning in Jesus' death on a cross. She writes, "Jesus came for life and to show us something about life and living together and what life was all about." And again, this is quoted by Dr. Kelly Brown Douglas, What's Faith Got to Do With It, page 90. Williams also wrote, "Christians cannot forget the cross, but neither can they glorify it. To do so is to glorify suffering and to render exploitation sacred. To do so is to glorify the sin of defilement." That's from Williams in her book, Sisters in the Wilderness, The Challenge of Womanist God Talk, page 132. So for me this year, especially around Easter, the Jesus story isn't about death. Easter reminds us that our story isn't about dying. Our story is about how life can overcome death, even when death is wielded as a weapon of injustice and used as an attempt to keep us down. The God of the resurrection story is on the side of the oppressed, the marginalized, the downtrodden. And the power that can save our world is not one that appeals to more dying, but to a refusal to let go of life. Hate doesn't have to have the last word. The Jesus story doesn't end on Friday evening. And we can choose love and life as the last word of our stories too. Let's look at some discussion group questions. Number one, share something that spoke to you from this week's eSight or podcast episode with your discussion group. Number two, how does focusing on the resurrection rather than the crucifixion as the redeeming element in the Jesus story shape your own experience as a Jesus follower? Share and discuss that with your group. And then number three, what can you do this week, big or small, to continue setting in motion the work of shaping our world into a safe, compassionate, just home for everyone? Thanks for checking in with us today. I want to say a special thank you to all of our supporters out there. If you'd like to join them in supporting Renewed Heart Ministries' work, you can do so by going to renewedheartministries.com and clicking donate. I want to also say a special thank you out there to Choir Publishing for the recent edition of my book, Finding Jesus, A Fundamentalist Preacher Discovers the Social, Political, and Economic Teachings of the Gospels. That book is available right now on Amazon as a paperback or a Kindle. And it's soon, the next few weeks, going to be available on Audible in an audiobook format also. And as always, you can find Renewed Heart Ministries each week on X or Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Meta's new Threads. If you haven't done so already, please follow us on your chosen social media platforms. We make posts almost every day. And also, if you enjoy listening to this podcast, please like and subscribe to this podcast through whatever podcast platform you're using. And consider taking some time to give us a positive review. This helps others find our podcast as well. If you would like to watch a video each week rather than just an audio podcast, you can check out our new YouTube show called Just Talking. Each week, Todd Leonard and I take a moment to talk about the gospel lectionary reading for the upcoming weekend. Our goal is to talk about each of those readings in the context of love and inclusion and societal justice. Our hope is that our talking will be just talking, as in justice, but that during our brief conversation each week, you'll be inspired to also do more than just talking. If you teach from the lectionary each week, or if you're just looking for some thoughts on the Jesus story from a more progressive perspective within the context of social justice, check it out. You might like it. You can find Just Talking each week on YouTube at youtube.com/@HerbandToddJustTalking. Please like, subscribe, hit the notification button there as well. And if you'd like to reach us here at Renewed Heart Ministries through email, you can reach us at info@renewedheartministries.com. Right where you are, keep living in love, choosing compassion, taking action, and working toward justice. I love each of you dearly. I'll see you next week.